Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do our 50% off for new subscribers only, of course. There's a promo code at VRTrader.com. It's VR, as in Victor Robert, VRTrader.com. And when you get to the order form, you enter 2022 half off, 2022 HALFOFF, and you get 50% off of any of our newsletters for any time frame you sign up for. Also, I always make the disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm a newsletter publisher and journalist for 44 years.
Apple shares took off after it announced it would cobble some kind of AI attachment to its iPhone. Is that rise in their shares warranted, considering this isn't their invention, they're using somebody else's?
You know, I'm not an expert on the technology. To me, this was just another, you know, market play tied to the mania around the AI story. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying Apple's probably the leading technology company out there for decades, and smart investors have just held the stock all these years, even though it's had, you know, its swings like any stock has been the place to be. But to me, it just just a speculative spike that unfolded here, and I don't know whether, you know, you can count on this like Nvidia, where it just keeps running and running and has unlimited new business supposedly and no competition. And I think it's a, you know, different ball of wax here with Apple. So, listen, the company has done well. It's a great stock over the years. I remember buying it, actually. This dates me. You know, it was way back. I think it was in the early 1980s, and I was actually working for a brokerage firm at the time back in Chicago. And when Apple went public, I think it was like $26 a share. Back then, and I actually bought it at that time. Obviously, if I stayed with it, adjusted for splits, like God knows how much of a percentage gain I might have had, probably 10,000% or some crazy number. But I've been a follower of it for the longest time. Technically, here it's extended, you know, just in terms of a trading comment. You know, it ran all the way up to 220, and it's got, you know, pullback numbers, you know, back into the 190s, I suppose. So if you're a trader, you might want to take a look at that if it pulls back. But it's definitely a mania event, and just flashing that AI story out there. I mean, artificial intelligence is not a new creation. It's been around. It's just being promoted now, and everybody jumped on it. It's almost, you know, in a way, it's like the dot-com bubble that we saw back in 24 years ago, back in 2000, where companies would change their name to .com so they would attract investors and buyers. That's happening now with AI all over the place. So it's made me a bit dubious and skeptical about the whole thing. Yes, it's technology, and yes, NVIDIA seems to have the monopoly at the moment. And now that they split it 10-for-1, you know, the people are buying it. And as long as they do business, I suppose it could, you know, continue to go higher. So, you know, there's a real company there, and I'm not saying it's no real company with Apple. It just, you got to be, you know, understand what's going on. You got a mania, which is great if you're a trader, and you get these pullbacks and trading opportunities to get in on this stuff. So it's great, and I don't invest in these companies. I'm a trader, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you, as others say, just hold Apple or NVIDIA and walk away from it. That's not the way I look at the markets, but they are in play.
Shareholders approved Elon Musk's $56 million pay package as the head of Tesla. Is he worth $56
billion? I would say so. Man is the Edison of our time. Look what he's accomplished, not to mention, buying Tesla, back in, or was it 2012, 2013, turning into a huge company, the leading EV company in the world, creating SpaceX, creating the Boring Company. Actually, he was apparently one of the founders of the AI company, one of the AI companies. He's, I think, in some litigation now with those other parties because he had been one of the founders there. So the man has done things which are incredible. I would always be a supporter of him. If he was kicked out of the company and didn't get his compensation package, it'd probably be the end of Tesla. But I think, he had Solar City. He merged that into Tesla, the solar company. So many projects he's involved with, and he's so ahead of his time. So how do you put a value on that? I mean, he's made billions of dollars for investors everywhere, and he's an innovator. So I'm not going to sit here and question what he's worth. I mean, how many people are going to Mars and building spaceships that are targeted there, or planning a colony on Mars? Just things that other people just have never done and would never do. And this is like, you throw out a name like Walt Disney, which is another favorite name of mine, who I think was the greatest man of the 20th century in terms of his impact on the world. I mean, you can throw his name and Elon Musk into that category. These are unique individuals that have incredible impact, incredibly resourceful and intelligent and creative. So I'm a long-winded answer, so it's yes.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, how would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
I think it's a little bit of a mania right now tied to the, as we just discussed, the Apple, NVIDIA, Taiwan Semiconductor, the whole semiconductor mania going on related to the AI situation. So I see it as a bit of a bubble, honestly, short term. My cycle work, indicated this is the time of year you'd be looking for a top. So I'm a little, cautious here about the market short term. Of course, you got the election coming up. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a nasty shakeouts, stuff I'm looking at, so I'm a bit of a bear here, though I would trade NVIDIA or Apple on pullbacks for trades and, day or two type trade things. But in terms of my overall view, there's always individual stocks doing stuff. You go to our list, you'll see a lot of individual stocks, but a lot of the market as a whole is looking, I feel, toppy here, and there is risk. So we're watching support levels carefully. For example, the Dow Industrials, which is, I guess as good an indicator as any. Some people say, well, I shouldn't be looking at that because the NASDAQ is really the index that's running, and that's because of the Apple or because of the NVIDIAs. But, Dow itself, in my work, it's around 38,600. If it takes out 37,500, which is, a nice drop here, but not something undoable. I mean, we could see a 5,000-point correction. So that's what the charts tell me, and we'll see if that unfolds. And if it doesn't happen by, I would say, this summer, August into September, then I'm wrong on that theory, and we'll just be creating our individual stocks like we do in our indexes. The truth is, a lot of our trades, and most of the subscribers would testify to this, has been on the short side in the indexes. In fact, we were short coming into today, covered this morning, made some money, and most of my trades, I'm looking, waiting for pops, getting short, because I just think the market's overvalued here. And you know, temporarily, whatever. And I just think it's too much of a mania going on out there. Everybody's fixated on the Federal Reserve. We had Jay Powell talking yesterday. I mean, the whole thing is a comedy of errors, the whole discussion about interest rates. I rant and rave about this in my newsletter we've had on these broadcasts. You know, first there were going to be, you know, 6, 7, 8 interest rate cuts this year. Now they're even questioning there's going to be any. And regardless of that, the market's gone up anyway. Inflation is still with us. The numbers that are being reported are not correct. You can't believe the government numbers, the economic reports, statistics that are put out. They're revised constantly. They're politically motivated. So regardless of what the Fed did or didn't do on the interest rates, the market went up. And one of the reasons for that is because there's other things that are happening out there. The money supply has not been curtailed. If the Fed really wanted to bring the economy in the way Paul Volcker did back in 1980, he would restrict credit and he would be driving rates up to 20% and be doing some dramatic things. He's not doing that. So, you know, a lot of it, again, is politically related. So the market went up anyway, and it's ignoring so many other things in the world. I mean, we can get off on a lot of tangents here, but, you know, we've got Russian warships in Cuba going on. We still have the Ukraine war. The Israeli situation with Hamas is not solvable. I mean, basically, Hamas and the terrorists are anti-Israel forever, have been forever. Anti-Semitism has grown to dramatic heights around the world. So many other things happening out there, regardless of what the Fed's doing. But despite that, the market has been going up, and you could argue that it may have been manipulated higher. I write about this in my newsletter every day, and none of it is really discussed in the financial press, but you got the plunge protection team out there, the equity stabilization fund, the government involvement in the markets, which is not even discussed. And a lot of it, I think, is related to that. So, then we have the BRICS meeting going on right now. The rest of the world is, you know, sort of ganging up against the dollar and seeking, you know, backing for that for gold, which has been underperforming here just recently. But, you know, and then, you know, you can argue that World War III is already underway with what's going on in these conflicts that I just mentioned. So then you also have a U.S. House bill, which was entered into Congress, not even discussed in the financial press, to abolish the Federal Reserve. So this was done, you know, about a decade ago, and someone else is trying it again. So there's so much going on out there, but, you know, if you're following the momentum in the market and you're trading and you do your cycle work, you have to call it as you see it. So for me, at the moment, I'm being repetitive here a little bit, but I think the market's a little overdone here, and we'll see how it reacts into the summer or fall and take the trades as they unfold.
Does silver still have room to go higher?
I think so. But we're in a little corrective phase in the metals here too, Jim. It had a little top just recently, and it's pulling back here, and I think it might have a little bit more to pull back. I'm waiting for some confirmation, but I still have a big target up there around 2,700 in gold, and I think silver could easily, you know, get into the mid-30s to high 40s this year. So we just have to watch the tape. On a trading basis, we hedged our position with inverse gold and silver indexes here just to protect ourselves a little bit, which was the right thing to do until we get a clear sign of a trading bottom. So I'm hedged a little bit here, and perhaps the same function that is causing crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum to pull back here a little bit is the same thing that's affecting stocks and gold. You know, maybe we just hit a speculative bubble here, you know, mid-year. You know, a lot of these markets just got overdone and need to go through a correction, and that possibly is what my cycle work is pointing out to. So we'll see how it plays out, but possibly a pullback in the Dow Industrials that I just mentioned, crypto, gold could all happen together, and this could be just part of this mid-year corrective phase, which I think we're starting.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening in the crypto market?
We just couldn't break through. Ethereum did better. That's ETH. That's the ETHE. That's the ETF for Ethereum. But Bitcoin got up to that 72,000 level, couldn't break through, and is now, you know, pulling back here a little bit. For traders, the big concern for me is if you break that 56, 57,000 level, which is, you know, considerably below where we're at now. We're in the high 60, there are 66, 67,000 range. If it takes out that level, then we have some more headaches here for the Bitcoin investors, you know, possibly down into the 40s and so forth. So I'm not predicting it could happen. That's a big support level. But we really need to see happen is Bitcoin break through that 73,000 high. And that would obviously not only reaffirm the uptrend, but it would trigger a potential move up to the high 80s or low 90s in Bitcoin. So I'm out of it right now. We took some profits. We're watching it. If it breaks out, we'll probably jump in. If it pulls back down and holds that 56, 57,000 area this summer or into early fall, that'd be a great area to buy it. Still a bull, you know, just following the chart patterns right now. So I'm a little cautious on it here, just on a trading basis, near-term basis, because of all the comments I just made about the state of the market and the speculation in the market at this time.
What's happening with crude?
Bouncing here a little bit the last few days. Still overall bullish, particularly when I see people like Warren Buffett just came out, I think it was yesterday, added to his position at Occidental Petroleum. So crude's not going anywhere big to the downside, and I'm still looking overall for either geopolitical reasons, supply-demand reasons that's going to trade overall higher. So I'm keeping my oil related positions. I'm not, it's so cheap here relative to where I think it's going, which is, I think, $190 a barrel in the next couple of years. So I'm hanging in there, particularly with stocks that pay dividends in the oil space.
Anything happening on the geocosmic front?
A lot of stuff. So let's see what we got going on here. We've got volcanic activity in Iceland, which is really wild. Iceland, you know, some historical stuff has pointed to the potential that the worst year we had on the planet, I think it was the year 576, was when a super volcano blew up in Iceland and pretty much put the whole world into a serious geopolitical geocosmic situation with, you know, cloud cover and, you know, low temperatures and inability to grow. So it's funny that Iceland is getting heated up here again. They have some pictures here on the internet and red hot lava from Iceland volcanoes, smothers roads. So Iceland could be, we keep talking about the cause for, you know, a super volcano, a negative effect on the planet. We always joke about Wyoming and you know, the big Yellowstone potential up there, but it seems like Iceland seems to be the more active spot. So anyway, that's going on now. There's about 45 active volcanoes on the planet right now. Nobody talks about this stuff. I guess if you're in Iceland, it affects you directly, but if you get a blow up. So then we still have a huge amount of weather activity, which has been really negative here in the recent weeks. It's just incredible. Tornadoes all over the place. Some tornadoes in the last few hours tearing up northeastern Minnesota here in the U.S., damage reports. And this has been going on for weeks all across the central United States, and this is much more than I ever recalled. So there's something else going on. Maybe it's related to the solar activity. We've had a lot of sunspot activity, as you know. In fact, right now there's an event, they call it the polar cap absorption event. They call it for the second day in a row. They say protons from the sun are raining down on the Earth, and this is causing a shortwave radio blackout near the Arctic Circle. Of course, we've had a lot of shortwave blackouts recently with the sunspot activity, and just stuff keeps going on with the sun here. We're in a high solar activity period, and with those huge sunspots, which if you go to spaceweather.com, they occasionally show pictures of it. But these are the kind of things that caused the Carrington event back in 1859, which really caused a lot of damage here on whatever electronics we had at the time, which I believe was only the Western Union. So, so we got, you know, stuff going on, and the weather and solar and just fun stuff out there. And, you know, these are all important things. I mean, if you're in Minnesota and that tornado comes through, I mean, your life is not the same life, or if you're in Reykjavik, Iceland, and you know, these things are blasting. That affects you there too. So you don't see it in the stock market every minute, and people tend to ignore the stuff. Oh, what's happening elsewhere? It doesn't affect me, but some of these have geocosmic effects all for the whole planet. So not much I can do to change it. I just like to follow it. But I tell you, if I see something like this occurring, I mean, even the recent solar activity, you know, was sort of played down a little bit until someone like Elon Musk makes a comment, well, you know, the solar flares didn't hurt our satellites and Starlink, but it could have, you know, so the effects could be significant, you know, in terms of major damage to infrastructure and to satellites in space and so forth. So not much we can do, but when it happens, it will affect everyone on the planet. And, you know, one day if there's no power and everything is off, someone, you know, come to realize that, gee, that the sun has a lot of power over us. It's not just the Federal Reserve or, you know, what the President of the United States or Canada are telling us. You know, it's what Mother Nature is really telling us. So, yeah, I pay a lot of attention to this stuff. We also, and finally, I don't want to hold you up here, but we do have lunar event coming up, which is tied to the summer solstice. And I'm always paying attention to that. On June 21st, you've got a full moon. And on June 20th to 22nd, you have the summer solstice coming in here in just a few days. So these are significant events in terms of change of direction points in the markets. So maybe these two events are signaling or confirming that maybe we're hitting a top here in the markets and change direction. Or if we sell off sharply into that event, maybe it's a little bit of a bottom. So I'm watching this June 22nd time frame for both the lunar and the seasonal patterns that are all coming into play at that time. So fun stuff, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.